to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. This week we're celebrating Passover, my favorite holiday, so I decided to read you this story by Abraham Moses Klein, who is one of Canada's most celebrated Jewish writers. Klein was born in Ukraine in 1909, and his family moved to Montreal 3 or 4 years later. He was raised in an Orthodox household and originally thought of becoming a rabbi, but later changed his mind. As an undergraduate, he studied political science, classics, and economics at McGill University, and then law at the Université de Montréal. He began publishing poetry while he was at McGill and continued writing while practicing law. He wrote poetry, essays, short stories, and novels, which were published in Canada and the United States. He was an ardent Zionist and an outspoken critic of Nazism in the 30s and 40s. He was an important member of the Jewish community in Montreal, and most of his writings are on Jewish themes. Klein died in Montreal in 1972. This story, Prophet in Our Midst, A Story for Passover, is taken from the Oxford Book of Jewish Stories, edited by Ilan Stavans, and published by Oxford University Press in 1998. About 6 weeks before Passover, we began to study the Haggadah. The ordinary curriculum of the Cheder was abandoned. The classroom was full of the talk of miracles, and out of the 4 questions, a million others bristled. Our days were spent in the calculation of plagues. The Rebbe proved that if the 10 plagues were a finger of God, 50 plagues must have been inflicted on the Egyptians when he lifted his right hand, which, explained Label, the bright boy of the class, had 5 fingers. Our nights, too, were glorious with dreams of angels and heavenly ministers. At recess periods, while pampered Pee-wee, the richest pupil in the Cheder, could afford to crack nuts as early as 3 weeks before Passover, and while Jeshurun, the Rebbe gave Fatty that nickname because it is written, and Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. While Jeshurun already nibbled matzah, we discussed the Egyptian afflictions, and it's a strange thing that all of us agreed that the slaying of the firstborn was the least, and the plague of lice the most terrible of all. I remember very vividly that it was only Mutala, the orphan, who held the opposite view. But more fascinating than these arguments about frogs skipping in Mizraim and about Moses waving his magic wand over a land of blood were the tales of Elijah the prophet. When the rabbi dwelt with glowing picturesqueness and biblical quotation upon the piety and poverty of the man of God, I felt that he was describing my father. It was only when he appended to the description of the prophet a long and flowing beard that the similarity failed. For my father's beard, alas, has always been shorter in America than in Europe. But even if Elijah did not look like my father, I could still evince an interest in him. So engrossing a character was he, Elijah, wandering from town to town and from village to village, performing miracles here and doing wonders there. Elijah, saving Jews forever hard beset by Jew gluttons. Elijah, bringing splendor to the house of the pauper and imparting high secrets to the heart of the pious rabbi. How we loved him! How gladly, had he appeared in our midst, we would have hailed him. Such a just man was he, we might even have made him referee over all our games. What intrigued us most, however, was the story that on Passover night Elijah wanders from house to Hebrew house, sipping some wine from the goblet especially left for him. First of all, we questioned, how could he go to so many places in one night? For, As the Rebbe himself told us, the Jews were scattered in all parts of the world. A little astronomy came to the Rebbe's salvation. He explained that while it was night here, it was day in Palestine, and so Elijah had really 2 days wherein to do his sipping. But if the wine was sour, how could Elijah drink it? Ready for all occasions, the Rebbe answered, first, that Elijah only sipped a little from each goblet, and second, that in the mouth of the prophet all things turn sweet. I always wanted to ask how he kept himself from becoming drunk after putting his lips to so many cups and after, in going from Seder to Seder, mixing his drinks. But I was afraid. The Rebbe might become angry at this impertinence and call me Shagetz. The figure of a long-bearded Jew staggering through ghetto streets, his coattails flying behind him in the spring wind, and his silhouette lit up by Passover moonlight has haunted me ever since. If Simeon the half-wit would have failed to appear on our street about Passover time, the ghetto gossips would have talked about a belated spring. He showed his bearded countenance as regularly as the 3 maple trees of our ward burgeoned their buds. All winter he retired into a mystical seclusion. He hibernated. But at the earliest twittering of the sparrows, he took up his position at the synagogue doorstep, and dressed in a heavy hat and tattered coat, he dozed away his days. He never worked. He lived upon the compassion and charity of his neighbors. A screw was loose somewhere, men said, as they put a finger to their temples. Simeon, for one thing, was obsessed by a mortal fear of blueberries. If you ever wanted to get rid of him, all you had to do was show him a blueberry. Had he looked at the fact of the angel of death himself, he would not have been more terrified. He also had the habit of tying his sleeves to his wrist. He feared that devils would creep into his clothes and seek shelter in his hairy bosom. And he liked a little drink on any and all occasions. Practical jokers, possessed by a cruel ingenuity, would sometimes treat him to a glass of schnapps, but would throw into the red liquid a blueberry. "Poison! Poison of death!" Simeon would shout, and spit mightily, leaving his benefactors a reward of choice curses. But he was not dangerous. He was merely a half-wit. Doctors said, however, that a great shock at any moment might deprive him even of the last vestiges of sanity. They spoke about chronic alcoholism and prophesied that his brain would weaken. But he was not dangerous, so, while on a hot summer day, wrapped in a mass of rags, his beard falling over a collarless neck, and his mouth open for the exit and entrance of flies, Simeon slumbered away his mad life. Jews passed him by with a shake of the head and a recollection of blueberries. I had finished asking the 4 questions. We were all reading the Haggadah. My uncle outsang my father, my mother outsang them both. Amidst the sound of the prayers, I skipped several passages. I could not keep my mind on the Hebrew. Either I looked at the pictures in the Haggadah, trying to distinguish the different plagues as they were represented in the blurred woodcuts, or I kept a vigilant eye upon the cup of Elijah to see that its contents did not diminish. The moment came. My father told me to open the door as he announced the prayer, "Spill thy wrath upon the heathen, O Lord." I opened it. The moon was visible, shining over the roofs. On the other side of the street, a shadow stalked. It made its way towards our door. As it approached, we could distinguish the tatters, the beard, the rheumy eyes of Simeon. As he entered, we heard his adenoidal breathing. "Elijah the prophet, as I am a Jew," laughed my uncle. "Come in, sit down, take a glass of wine," Reb Simeon. "Let all who need come and eat," he quoted the Haggadah. My My head was turned at that particular moment, so I don't know whether it was really the goblet of Elijah that my uncle gave him. At any rate, Simeon drank. He drank for a legion of Elijahs. My uncle and father insisted, moreover, on calling him Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. They spoke with him, they argued with him, they convinced him that he was the prophet himself. In the state in which Simeon found himself at the end of the Seder, before the eating of the Afikomen, you could have made him believe anything. But the idea that he was Elijah the prophet tickled him particularly. Even on that very night, he felt insulted when my mother, forgetting the play for a moment, called him Simeon. "I am Elijah the prophet," he shouted. "I am Elijah." And truth to tell, since that night, he's changed his name to Elijah, and as the spirit moves him, he indulges in petty prophecies. When he left our house, I looked through the windows, and in the Passover moonlight, I saw the figure of a long-bearded Jew staggering down the street, his tatters playing behind him in the spring wind. Well, we hope you enjoyed this story, and all of us here at Radio Sepharad wish all of you a very happy Passover. And, as always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSepharad.com. I'll leave you now with Dayenu by Sam Medoff and the Yiddish Swingtet. It was originally recorded around 1940 and is from the CD Music from the Yiddish Radio Project. See you next week.
And now, Maestro Sam Medoff and the lads of the Yiddish Swingtet bring us the rollicking rhythms of Dayenu.